So, I announced last week that I was going to be giving a talk tonight on continuing talking on the virtue practices and talk about right livelihood, and I decided I don't want to talk about that. And instead I want to talk about something of greater importance, which is how to avoid becoming a zombie. Because we are all under zombie attack. The zombies have invaded. As you've seen on TV and in the movies, we are surrounded by them. And where else would you go but Dharma Punks to hear about how to avoid becoming a zombie? So vital information tonight. Put on your thinking caps. Because your very survival could be at stake. All right. So, zombies. I just love even talking about zombies here. Zombies started, as you probably know, at least as far as I can tell, they started in voodoo mythology. And the basic idea was that a evil sorcerer, or a sorcerer, maybe not evil, maybe just a sorcerer, would take control of people's minds and control their actions. And there's so many, the mythology is so rich that biologists went to, I believe, Haiti to do studies of the culture and determined that they believe the origins of the myth was based on administering hallucinogenic toxic substances to people, plants and things like there are certain kinds of plants that have sedative toxic and hallucinatory toxic effects. And there's even certain kinds of blowfish that have toxins and stuff like that. Other people theorize that the myth is based in schizophrenia, that schizophrenia manifests itself in certain lack of control and hearing voices and other sorts of behaviors that they believe turned into this myth. Nobody's really come to any conclusion that, as far as my research has determined, as to where the myth came from. But it's an interesting myth that over time has been used in popular culture, especially starting in, I think, 69. With Giorgio Romero's classic, Night of the Living Dead. The interesting thing about the movie was around a little bit earlier, there was another movie, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which was used as a very right-wing sort of message, which is basically the Red Scare. Well, the idea behind that movie was, or the message hidden in that movie is that communism is this nefarious trend that is taking over the world, and only a few valiant Americans apparently would stand tall against this growing red threat that would take over people's minds. The zombie movie, as written and created by Romero, is quite the exact opposite. The people that were hunted by these zombies were generally very young, and for the movie, somewhat countercultural in look. And the zombies were often dead people, but dressed in, or actors, you know, made up to look dead, but in business suits. So the idea was that the dominant culture was hunting the young youth movement. So it was sort of a different perspective, a different message that was being wrapped in a sci-fi or horror movie concept. There are some basic themes that are in zombie culture, zombie narratives that are constant throughout. One is that zombies are generally, they move, at first they move very slowly, but they were always extremely externally focused, trying to kill and consume the living. And as zombie narratives became more and more popular, eventually the zombies were said to be specifically after our brains. At first they just wanted to eat our flesh, but now they're after our brains, which is not very good news. But anyway, and the idea is also that societies have broken down, that lawlessness is everywhere, that nobody has any moral fiber anymore, and often that the people who act the most selfishly to survive wind up becoming zombies, and it's the people who learn to band together and work cooperatively that survive. These are some common themes. As time has passed, the zombie idea has pervaded all of culture. It's in gaming, it's in comic books, The Walking Dead being an example, TV shows. There are, it's been in popular culture, in Michael Jackson's Thriller. Some of you may remember that cultural high point of our lives. Michael Jackson does a dance with zombies. One of the most bizarre things I remember, turning on the television, seeing that in the 80s, and thinking that the world was coming to a complete end. So, there's also, the zombie narrative has been leveraged by social activists. There's been zombie walks, which support often very virtuous causes, food drives, educational drives, awareness campaigns for various causes. So it's in our social culture. And believe it or not, the idea of the zombie is very, very important in philosophy. How so, you say? Well, actually, in the philosophy of neuroscience, which, believe it or not, is something that I actually like reading about, the idea of a zombie is a thought idea or a hypothesis that's basically the idea of, is it possible for there to be a human being that acts exactly like you or I, or a normal human being, but has absolutely no internal life, no consciousness, no feelings. Somebody who could act and behave like a human being, but has absolutely no self-consciousness or no internal thoughts. And this is an important thought experiment because there's a lot of debate in philosophy about just how much of a role consciousness plays in our actions. How much of our actions are actually given birth to by our thinking, as opposed to, is our thinking just a sort of commentary that we add on to stuff we're already doing? In other words, some scientists use the example of the monkey riding on the back of an elephant, saying that almost all of our actual actions are things that have been arisen unconsciously, and we're just adding a lot of commentary, like the monkey thinks it's driving the elephant, but actually the elephant is making all the decisions, and the monkey is just thinking that it's in control. And this perspective has actually been borne out by a bunch of experiments by a scientist named Benjamin Libet, who actually used EEGs to determine that a lot of the actions, well, all actions basically start unconsciously well before there's any conscious movement in the frontal lobe. So these are very thought-provoking ideas, but again, you'll notice that the idea is that the zombie myth is based on the idea that people could be entirely externally focused with no inner life, with no core feelings, without any internal self-consciousness or awareness, and are craving very, very external, short-term things, just hunger, craving, without any higher purpose whatsoever, like zombies don't really have. They don't really have any higher purpose. So, moving more towards Buddhism, Tara Brach is actually a wonderful writer and Buddhist, talks a lot about the trance of unworthiness. She says that most people, because we live in a society that's so self-focused, that we all have this feeling that we're falling short, this sense of inner unworthiness. And because we have it, we develop these inner stresses that we don't want to be with, a sense of there's something wrong with us. And so we focus hungrily on the world, trying to fill up that feeling or distract ourselves from those feelings of unworthiness by accumulating. And so we see this idea of, again, zombies are this dominant culture of accumulating, of consuming, of trying to fill up this emptiness, this lack of inner experience with things, with sex, with food, with consumer goods, with iPods and iPads and stuff and friends on Facebook. Anything that can make us in the abstract world or the real world feel that we exist, because we're so scared of being inside our bodies, of being aware of what's going on inside. We're running from that. Now, this is not anything new in Buddhism. In fact, the Buddha portrayed the normal, untrained mind as a mind that was filled with craving, and he said entirely externally focused, entirely based on craving. The idea that we're looking for security in, the Buddha said, physical pleasures that are very short-lasting. We're looking for security in approval from other people. We're looking for security in gains, as in accumulating more money and more things. And we're looking for security in fame, and being this idea that if a lot of people remember me or know who I am, I'm more substantial, I'm more protected, I'm safer. And the Buddha said all of these things, these worldly winds, have a tendency of shifting directions. So if we're getting our sense of happiness and security from other people, from approval, those winds are just likely to change and turn into disapproval. And then my life sucks. Or if I'm getting my security from money, it could disappear and then my life sucks. Or if I'm getting my security from things, they can be taken from me. Or I can get bored of the things I have, and then my life sucks. Then I'm filled with stress. So this, just like with zombies, this external-based finding of all the meaning and security and lasting peace externally in things that can change gives birth to a hunger that continually has to be fed, because everything I'm feeding on is changing. It's impermanent. It's beyond my control. It's liable to change. If I'm getting my happiness from my career, one day I might go to work and they might not like what I'm doing. I might get downsized. I might become too old to work where I'm working. And then what happens to me in my life? Well, it becomes shitty. That's a Buddhist term, shitty. So anyway, which brings us to the important point of how to avoid becoming a zombie. Now, in the zombie myth, there's only two ways to avoid a zombie attack, which is A, you've got to run like fuck. that he find a really secure place and lock the door, bolt it, throw up, you know, cabinets and bookshelves and whatever, and block the entranceway. Or B, you got to go out with a gun and blow them away. So you got to either kill the zombies or run like fuck from them, right? And that is not surprisingly the way most of us deal with things we don't like. We either try to attack or we try to run. Whenever things arise that we don't like, we try to attack it or we try to run away. So it's not surprising that that's the only two utilities that's given to us in one of my favorite TV shows, The Walking Dead, which you... I'm not plugging a TV show, but I just like it. So, anyway. Thankfully, the Buddha gave us more tools for surviving a zombie attack by mindless consumer culture zombies. The first is we can actually live and walk amongst them. We can actually be out there amongst them. We need, though, to develop three tools. The first tool is to find other wise spiritual practitioners who have not yet become zombies, or who are avoiding becoming zombies, or who once were zombies but somehow are no longer zombies. I'm completely driving this into the ground, but whatever. You get the idea. Find other spiritual people who are not just practicing consuming and worrying about things that are impermanent, but are also trying to develop and cultivate things like generosity, compassion, appreciation, a balanced life that's not just based on their careers, but also spiritual practice. People who have given support, but also have not been afraid to call you on your shit when your shit needs to be called upon. You get the idea. So those types of people. Just as in the zombie flicks, you really can't survive alone. You really need to cultivate a crew of people that are in it with you. People that you can check to see if you're developing the symptoms of zombieism. So that's one thing. The second thing we need as an antidote to the virus of zombieism, which is consuming the world, trying to find peace and happiness that doesn't last. The antidote is developing within a practice of relaxing the body and carrying mindfulness, awareness of the breath, awareness of inner stresses wherever you go. It's not just a matter of when we meditate. It's about in work, in relationships, in meetings, having at least a little bit of your awareness, noticing when there's stress developing in the shoulders, your stomach, your throat, and using the breath and your ability to relax the body to keep the body a comfortable place to be, because it's that fear of having an internal awareness and life within that turns us in to zombies. So that's the antidote, mindfulness, keeping the body comfortable. The third is also, as the Buddha said, reflecting on the fact that the external fixations and obsessions that we have, that the idea of, oh, if only I could get this career, this business, this line of work up off the ground and make it really successful, that would be the thing that solves all my problems. If only I could have a relationship that was solid, that would solve all my problems. If only I could have more friends, or pay off all my debts. If only that would make it all work out. To see through the zombie craving mindset and to remember that in our lives, every time we reach a milestone that we thought was going to solve everything, it generally doesn't. It generally doesn't. I remember when I was in living with my parents and I thought, oh wow, when I get away from these people, it's all going to be clear sailing. It's going to be so fucking good. It's going to be so good. Boy, did life get really tough. Things just don't solve themselves when external situations change, when we get that career all worked out. Because we bring the stress, we bring the unworthiness, we bring the feeling of discomfort, the feeling that there's something wrong with us. We bring all that with us. We take us wherever we go. And so changing or consuming the world doesn't do anything. So, again, the three anecdotes to becoming a zombie, besides getting a shovel and bashing them in the head, no, you don't do that, is finding other wise spiritual practitioners, having awareness of the body, and also cultivating within thoughts that lead to lasting peace, thoughts of generosity, compassion, appreciation. And three, seeing through when we become fixated with what's going on in the world around us. There's nothing wrong with having a career and a life and all that, but seeing through this idea that it's going to solve and fix everything so that we can have a balance between what we do out there and also an awareness and a practice with what's going on in here. So that's how to avoid becoming a zombie. And now is your turn to share or talk about any experiences you've had with zombies and avoiding them. And anything else you want to talk about as well. So thanks for listening.